Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you were able to join me today. We're continuing on in a message I've entitled The Glory Restored, and one of my very favorite scriptures in the Old Testament, because it speaks of a time which I believe in these end times God's people are going to experience. And it's found in the book of 2 Chronicles. And this is the fifth chapter. I'm just going to read a few verses. Verse 13 says, "It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house." This occurred at the dedication of the temple, the one that Solomon had completed after all the instructions and provisions of his father David. And because of the unity of the people, the praise that was going forth, God, His presence came down and filled the place so that the priest could not stand to minister. And beloved, I believe God is going to restore His glory today. But beloved, in order for that to happen, we have to understand scriptural principles on how that can occur. It is not a light thing. The glory of God is the very goodness of God, His mercy, His holiness. And He is a God of love. He's a God of mercy, but also all the attributes that He possesses, His love, His goodness, will not negate or violate any other of His characteristics, such as justice. He is a just God, and justice must be done. In terms of man, we sinned. The punishment was death, eternal separation from God, and yet in His mercy and provision, He provided a way that does not have to be our choice, that does not have to be our end, because our choice is to choose salvation, which is found in no other name, in no other way. He is the door to the sheepfold. His name is Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us, unto us that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so, as we look at the glory of the Lord, yesterday we were looking at a very significant time in Israel's history. It was during the tenure of Eli, who was a high priest of Israel, and Samuel, a young prophet, and declared the word of the Lord that Eli and his house was going to pay for the wickedness and iniquity that he had allowed his sons to carry on. And so we see in chapter 4 that the Philistines had put themselves in array. They were going against Israel in war. And when that occurred, there were about 4,000 Israelites who were smitten before the enemy. And so they were concerned, they were upset. And so they said, okay, let's do this. Let's get the Ark of God, which resides at Shiloh. And so they brought the Ark. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, verse 5, it said, all of Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. Of course, the Philistines heard that, and that really frightened them because, you see, they had heard, the rumor had passed throughout the nations of what that Almighty God had done on behalf of the Israelites, parting the Red Sea, delivering them from Egyptian bondage, and they were afraid. But nonetheless, they encouraged themselves. Verse 9, it says, quit yourself like men and fight. And so They fought indeed, and Israel was defeated with a very great slaughter. 30,000 footmen fell. And not only that, the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And then a man came running out from that battle, informed Eli, who was watching. He said his heart trembled for the Ark of God when he heard the news that the Ark of God was taken, that his sons were slain. It says he fell backward off of that gate that he was sitting upon and broke his neck and died. And at that point in time, we see that this is a very desperate time for the people of Israel. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." But he gives a reason and explanation why we don't see God moving in our behalf at any point in time in history, man's relationship with God. He says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Sin, beloved, and iniquity separate man from God. And the same presence that had been a source of joy and comfort to Israel, it was, surely was a terror to the ungodly, the Philistines, whoever the enemy may have been. But when God is displeased, he turns his back, if you will. And in 1 Samuel 4:21, Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was giving birth to a child, and she named that child Ichabod, saying, "Because the Ark of God was taken," and she said, "the glory is departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken." And we see in Psalm 78, let me read verses 58 through 62. This is referring to Israel, "For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand." That wasn't just an accident. God purposely declared that he would, that his glory was departing. And beloved, the same is true in this dispensation in which we live. God has not changed his character, and he hates sin, and he hates iniquity. Jesus said in John the 15th chapter, verses 4 and 5, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Beloved, if we are separated from God, Ichabod may be written on all that we do. So now I'd like to turn to what is actually going to be our text, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. And what do we see here? I don't know that I'll take all the time to read it, but the highlights are, it says, "David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000 of them. And he basically said it was his desire, and if they would be willing, he wanted to fetch the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab, and that was in Gibeah. And so the sons of Abinadab, Uzzah, and Ahio placed the Ark of God's presence on a new cart, and they were in control and in guidance of it. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. And then we see David and all of Israel, they were rejoicing before the Lord. They played on all kinds of instruments. And it said, however, when that ark and the people had come to Nacon's threshing floor, something terrible happened. The oxen stumbled. And Uzzah, one of Abinadab's sons, put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now we might say, well, he was doing a good thing, but it was a presumptuous thing. God had given specific commands that no hand should touch the ark, but it was to be carried in a certain way. And it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. And of course, that brought the rejoicing and the celebration to an abrupt halt. It said David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perazuzah to this day. And it says, David, in verse 9, was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He was aware, and this incident showed the holiness and the fearfulness of Almighty God. And so he wouldn't take the ark into the city of David, but he carried it into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And it said the ark stayed there for 3 months, and God blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And then in verse 12, it was told David that God had blessed Obed-Edom's house and everything that pertained to the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. However, they had done some research in learning how the ark should be carried. And it was so, when they bear the ark of the Lord, when they gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And it says, David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and he was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. It was a time of great celebration and great rejoicing. And so that very act was prophetically tremendously significant that David had done, and I believe it's a foreshadowing of God's relationship with his people under the new covenant, because on Gibeon the sacrifices were still being performed every day, but David had the understanding and the revelation from God. He took the ark. The high priest could only go once a year to in the presence of the Lord, and yet David brought it, and it was pitched in the tent that he had established for it, and there was round the clock service in terms of praise and worship for the Lord. Well, beloved, we are just still laying a groundwork, but on succeeding broadcasts, we're going to look at the various attitudes that men took toward the ark and related to even the attitudes that are prevalent today. Do we want the glory restored? Well, we need to understand what is required. I thank you for joining me. I invite you to write, share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. I thank you so much for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,